try a little more. I try a little more. The hardest pill to swallow is the truth. I take my time just to make a little more. I take a little more. I guess you got me good.
It's 8 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m., and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. If you like numbers, it's 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, love to hear your perspective and what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. I'll be back. Okay, 11 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Metro. This is January the 15th, 2017. Almost said 16, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-9636. Okay, also, we're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And if you wish, you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. Okay, let's get right into it, since we're starting a little bit late today. College basketball, let's go with the ladies. UConn won their 90th, count it, 90 straight basketball game, 88-48 over SMU. Maryland, 98, Iowa, 82, Texas, 73, West Virginia, 63, South Florida, 79, East Carolina, 48, Oklahoma, 66, Texas Tech, 45, Kansas State 63, Oklahoma State 43. That was it as far as the top 25 teams in women's college basketball are concerned. Let's go to the men. Yesterday, Baylor number 1, 77. Kansas State 68. Kansas 87. Oklahoma State 80. Kansas 87. Oklahoma State 80. Villanova 70. St. John's 57. UCLA, 83, Utah, 82, Gonzaga, 79, St. Mary's, 56, Kentucky, 92, Auburn, 72. Here's an upset. Louisville, ranked number 14, defeated Duke, ranked number 7, 78-69. Got to mention that the Duke coach, Mike Krzyzewski, has either undergone surgery for his back or going to undergo surgery for his back, so the Dukies lost without him. Creighton 101, Truman State. Truman State! Where did you find Truman State? Maybe if it's after President Harry Truman, they're in Missouri somewhere. But never heard of Truman State. But you won't get too many points rising when you're playing Truman State, I don't believe. But anyway, Creighton defeated Truman State 101-69. North Carolina upset. North Carolina is ranked number 11. They defeated Florida State, who ranked number 9, 96-83. West Virginia 74, Texas 72, Butler 83, Xavier 78, Oregon 85, Oregon State 43. Virginia 76. I guess all the good basketball players in Oregon go to Oregon, not Oregon State. Virginia 77, Clemson 73, Notre Dame 76, Virginia Tech 71, Florida 80, Georgia 76, and here's another upset. Penn State, who was unranked, defeated Minnesota, ranked number 24, 52-50. So there you have it in men and women's college basketball on this Sunday, January the 15th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. I'll be back. I promise.
Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
And the message brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 417 is the Sounds of Praise. I'm sorry, the Brown Perspective on Sports time. Okay, when you do get two programs on, you do get a little bit confused at times this early in the morning. But anyway, yeah, this is a Brown Perspective on Sports. And again, I said we're talking sports here from now until 5 a.m. And to get involved in the sports conversation, you just have to give me a call. And that phone number, again, is 1-855-915-9636. Or if you like to mix in a few numbers, 1-855-915 with your letters, WMFO. Okay, where are we going next? Let's go to the National Basketball Association. Five games played last night. Clippers 113, the Lakers 97. I guess the Clippers are the owners of the arena out there, which was formerly only the home of the L.A. Lakers, because they were the top team for quite a while. Clippers, not quite a top team, but yes, they can claim the title of the best team in L.A. right now. Anyway. Okay, other games. Bulls 107, Pelicans 99. Didn't find out whether Rajon Rondo's off the hook yet. He'd been benched for quite a while. For, I don't know, six or seven games, I think he'd missed already because of conduct detrimental to the team, whatever that was. You know Rondo. He wants to be the point guard and the coach and everything else. So anyway, he hadn't been playing recently, so a healthy scratch, as they would say in football. Suns 108 and the Spurs 105. I know Pop is not happy about that one. Losing to the Suns, that's obviously a case where his team was not. They did not take to heart the fact that the Suns could also put some balls in the basket, and he will give them a thorough tongue lashing as he normally does. Anyway, Wizards 109 and the 76ers 93. I think 76ers won three games in a row. I think that's the first time they won three games in a row in quite a while, maybe since Dr. J retired. I don't know, but 76ers were on a downward trend, and they weren't trusting the process or whatever the former GM was throwing out there. But anyway, he's gone now, and Embiid is healthy. And what I'm surprised about is they have not been playing Okafor at all the last couple of games. I haven't heard that he was injured. Noel was getting some playing time, but I think they're playing him because they want to move him if they possibly can. And when they get their first round pick, happy back in the starting rotation, they are going to be a team to contend. I don't want to upset any Celtics fans around here because I'm a Celtic fan, but I think they could be, you know, a team that would move right up. Now, they're certainly better than the New York Knicks, and are going to be better than the New York Knicks. And so they could move right up on the Celtics' tail, and if they don't watch out, they could get passed. Although, I got to admit that, I'm going to talk a little about IT a little bit later on. Okay, well, matter of fact, let me just read the rest of the scores. Okay, the Wizards 109, the 76ers 93, and the Jazz 114, and the Magic 107. Yeah, the 76ers had picked up a few players. couple of players from overseas, and they've been playing fairly well. Haven't been, you know, knocking people out, but when Embiid has a good game, they are, you know, they have a shot of beating, you know, a lot of teams. And like I said, they could, because of their height up front, if they can get a really good point guard. I think I forget who the point guard is right now, but he's not an exceptional point guard. Probably a, you know, number two backup player. But once they get a good point guard, and they get their number one pick from last year, who is a point forward to begin with, a great passer, good shooter, puts the ball on the floor, can get his own shot, and doesn't seem, based upon his college career, to be somebody that you don't have to hog the ball. He'll pass it off and make the other team happy. And with Embiid, you know, scoring points in the middle, I guess you got to get him into the flow of the game anyway. So it's going to be interesting to see how far they can progress. But I look for them to, you know, be a major contender in the NBA Eastern Division. Okay, Celtics. Isaiah Thomas is having a tremendous year. And some idiot on this program about 5 weeks ago was talking about, maybe even longer than that, was talking about the possibility of trading Isaiah Thomas for the best big man that you could get. I was saying, hey, if they're not going to play Okafor in Philadelphia, I would trade him. But then that would make Philadelphia a tremendous contender in your own division. Maybe they wouldn't want to do that. But after that, Isaiah Thomas has been putting up some fantastic numbers, 30, 40, 50 points. He scored the winning shot on the last second, 2.4 seconds, I believe, was left in the game when he hit the winning shot, what was that, Friday night down there in Atlanta. So maybe he's not tradable. Maybe we just have to wait and see who we can get in the draft. Or maybe the fellow that we drafted last year, who is a 7-foot center, 21 years old, who has been moved up. Oh, he's over in Europe right now, I believe, playing in Turkey. I can't think of his name. But anyway, he moved up from the class he was in, and I guess he's playing in the higher league now with older players. And he may be the person that we're looking for, a rim protector, 7 feet tall, not afraid to mix it up, has some offense as well, and so therefore he may do for us what we lack right now as far as being a team that can contend with the Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors. So it'll be interesting to see which direction we go. Haven't watched that many college games, and you really would have to follow college basketball, you know, a lot closer than I'm able to follow it to determine just who the best guys are that are going to be coming out after the one and done season at the various colleges, or maybe someone who's been stayed in college and is going to be coming out, who can be that inside force. But based upon the guys that came out last year, I couldn't remember anybody saying, well, so and so stayed in college an extra year and he's going to be the answer. Oh, he's going to be a real good, you know, NBA player. So we're looking for the young guys, I guess, to move up. And then it'll be determined how well the young guys who do move up can actually acclimate themselves to the Boston Celtics offense and defensive scheme. In that game against Atlanta, they were unconscious in the first period from the three-point line, but they only won by 2 points. You live and you die by your outside shooting, and if you depend upon that only, then you know, like I said, the game was won at the buzzer by 2 seconds, with 2 seconds left in the game by a 2-point shot, I believe it was, by Isaiah Thomas. So anyway, we're in good shape. We aren't, and another good thing is that the Brooklyn Nets, whose pick we own, they've been falling and can't get up. And so hopefully we'll have their pick, which could be the first pick in the draft. Now, like I said, I haven't been following college basketball that closely, and I have seen a lot of good young players, you know, inside players in the few games I've seen, but like I said, you get a better grip on it. I'm sure that Danny Ainge and his son and all the other scouts on the Celtics, they have a pretty good idea who the number one player is going to be, or who the best players are going to be, maybe if we get two or three. But since we haven't done so well in the draft recently. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see who we get. And whomever we get could be a potentially good player that can move up to the next level. 4:27 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, January the 15th, 2017 edition of Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call. And that magic number is 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Be back.
So I'm apartment hunting and having this debate with a landlord.
Like I said, no pets. Just can't rent you the unit.
Yeah, he's a dog, but sir, he's not a pet.
He's four-legged, he's hairy, he's on a leash, that's a pet.
No, Henry is an assistance animal. Look, I'm legally blind. Couldn't you make a reasonable accommodation for my guide dog?
Young lady, you can call your canine friend anything you want. Those are the rules.
Rules? Rules that allow for housing discrimination? So, I made a call to HUD to confirm that, indeed, landlords must make reasonable accommodations for assistance animals. And now, we're so happy in our new apartment.
If you think you've been discriminated against because of your disability, race, color, religion, national origin, sex, or familial status, call the HUD hotline, 1-800-669-9777, or go to hud.gov/fairhousing. File a complaint. Make something happen.
Fair housing is your right. Use it.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
And also brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sport. 4:32 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I got it right this time. Let me inform you, it's 30 degrees outside right now. And we're going to have that updated weather forecast for you sometime around 6:30 on the Sounds of Praise Ministry program following next. Okay, let's continue with sports. Let's go to the National Hockey League. Good news for Bruins fans. Bruins 6 and the Flyers 3 yesterday. Predators 3 and the Avalanche 2. Canadiens 5 and the Rangers 4. Maple Leafs 4 and the Senators 2. The Panthers 4 and the Blue Jackets 3. Blue Jackets have been one of the hardest teams in the NHL. They've come down to earth somewhat in their last, I think they lost two of their last three games. Red Wings 6 and the Penguins 3. The Ducks 3 and the Coyotes zip. Hurricanes 7 and the Islanders 4. Oilers 2 and the Flames 1. The Wild 5 and the Stars 4. The Blues 4 and the Sharks zip. And the Kings 3 and the Jets 2. And that was an overtime game. In the Bruins game, and at 12:05 of the first period, Pierre-Edouard Bellemare got his third goal of the year with assists from Provorov and Vandeveld. But at 7:48, Brad Marchand got his 16th goal of the year, was shorthanded, and at the end of the first period was 1-1. In the second period, 2 minutes, Dave Krejcik got his 10th goal of the year on the power play with assists from Zarnik. And at 6 minutes into the second period, Tory Krug got his fourth goal of the year with assists from Marchand and Pasternak, making it 3-1 Bruins. At 8:16, however, Braden Schenn got his 15th goal of the year on the power play with assists from Streit and Giroux, and that made it 3-2 Bruins. But at 13:04, boy, that's, if you missed the second period, you missed to the scoring. 13:04 of the second period, Patrice Bergeron got his 9th goal of the year on a power play with assists from Marchand and Krug, and that made it 4-2 Bruins. And at 15:18 of the second period, Zdeno Chara got his 3rd goal of the year with assists from Pasternak and Marchand, making it 5-2. And at 19:56, Wayne got his 18th goal of the year on a power play with assists from Voracek and Giroux, and that made it 5-3. And in the fourth period, after I guess they were really tired scoring in the second period, all those goals, was an open netter at 19:06. Brad Marchand got his 17th goal of the year, unassisted. Final score, Bruins 6 and the Flyers 3. Nyquist got 33 stops in goal, but he let 6 of them go by, at least 5 of them anyway. The open netter doesn't count against him. And Tuukka Rask had 21 saves on 24 shots. So the Bruins pulled one out yesterday. Bruins, to me, here again, I got to admit, I don't follow hockey that closely. But, you know, as a local fan here with a sports show, I should know what's going on. The Bruins, to me, still are trying to, you know, they have so many new faces. They're still not, I don't think they've got their whole act together as a team functioning. And then every once in a while, when they seem like they're going to, you know, get going, someone gets an injury and they're out for a while and the team goes back into the dumps. But I was surprised at how high they are in the standings as far as the entire league is concerned. And if I can find my stats here while I'm yipping and yapping here, that, you know, overall their record doesn't look so good. Doesn't look so bad, rather. What am I saying? Look so good. You know, you like it to look better. But overall their record is not that bad considering the up and down nature of their play this year. With the win last night, they have 51 points. And that puts them... What did Montreal do? Go back to my stats here. See what Montreal... What did I say? Montreal won. So they have 60 points. The Bruins have 51. They're 9 points behind Montreal. The Ottawa Senators were 1 point behind. And the Senators lost, so they are now 3 points behind the Bruins. But the Bruins have 51 points, and there are a lot of other teams in there. Of course, in the Metropolitan Division, Columbus and Washington. Columbus, Washington, whoa, that's a tough division. Columbus, Washington, Pittsburgh, and the Rangers all have more points than the Bruins. So you can see we just happen to be in the Eastern Conference, in the Atlantic Division of the Eastern Conference. And maybe the competition just is not that great there. Out west, Chicago, Minnesota, all have more points than the Bruins. And in the Pacific Division, Anaheim, San Jose also have more points than the Bruins. So the Bruins, you know, could make the playoffs, but their overall game had to be more consistent from my perspective. It doesn't seem like they have that on a continuing basis. And again, when you look at last night's game, David Krejci on the first line only has 10 goals. Patrice Bergeron only has 9. That, to me, that's an underperforming line. And Zdeno Chara only has 3 goals. He's a defenseman, of course, but, you know, Bobby Orr was a defenseman, too. Yeah, you don't get too many Bobby Orrs. Pasternak earlier in the season was the hot hand. And he got a couple of assists last night. One assist. Yeah, he got 2 assists last night. So, anyway, they need, I think, more consistency based upon the fact that they have so many new and younger players. Okay, 4:39 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, January 15th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. We'll be right back.
Sonia, and I'm a liver recipient of 8 years. The fall of 1996, when I started feeling very tired, the doctors diagnosed me with end-stage liver disease. It was one hospitalization after the other. One of the most difficult things for me to accept was the fact that I was not able to drive anymore. My husband, Arnie, really was a pillar of strength. Arnie and my faith got me through my illness. Life after transplantation is a tremendous transformation. One of the biggest blessings that I received is that I am now able to take care of my 94-year-old mother. I live life with a greater gratitude for the little things. I love my life.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ, eye, and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to donatelife.net.
And the message brought to your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 444 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you can give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Okay, let's go to football, National Football League. As you regular listeners know, I am in a torrid contest with my son, Scott, and his son, Kyle, makes him my grandson, and our good friends, Kenny and Bill. And I don't have updated standings right now, but last week, I won all four. I picked all four games. And so I now have 170 wins. Bill was in second place. And he lost all four games. So he's still at 159. And I guess it's about time for him to concede. he's 11 games behind me going into yesterday's games. Scott was at 158, Kenny's at 147, and Kyle bringing up the rear at 130 as far as the number of wins are concerned. Going into yesterday's games, I had picked, get out my sheet here. I know who I picked, but let me make sure I've got everything correct here. I picked the Seahawks over the Falcons and the Patriots over the Texans. So I went 1-1 yesterday. Seahawks lost, and the Patriots won. And going into today's games, I have the Steelers over the Chiefs, and I got the Cowboys over the Packers. So I don't think anybody in the contest is going to catch me. I don't know what Scott did last week, but even if he got all four, he still did. Eight games behind me. So nobody's going to catch me. I'm going to win this year, no matter what I do from here on in. But let's look at yesterday's scores in the National Football League. The Falcons defeated the Seahawks 36-20, and the Patriots defeated the Texans 34-16. The Patriots covered the spread. The last I saw, and we always tell all our listeners, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet. When you got to figure out the points as well as the winner, generally the gamblers always win. So that's my effort. We just picked. It's hard enough picking the winners with a record of 170-88. Actually, 171-89. I'm just barely over 65%, so maybe it's close to 70%, but still, that's not a winning percentage, I don't think, if you're putting your actual money on the line. So therefore, we say don't bet. anyway, let's move on. I was a little surprised. I've never seen that much of the Falcons this year. Knew they had a very good offense, but I'm saying, yeah, who are they playing? So the fact that they could rack up a lot of points, and I just assumed that they had a good offense and their defense was not that good, and the offense bailed them out, and they lost, a few games here and there. So I thought the Seahawks had a much better defense, And obviously, with the injuries that they suffered, Michael Bennett went down in the game. I don't know if he went back into the game, but he was out for a while. And they lost other players, you know, before the actual playoffs started. So the Seahawks were defeated by the Falcons. That game, like I said, was for the birds. And the fact that the Seahawks offense didn't look that great, and yet the Falcons gave up 20 points, so tell me that maybe I am correct. Great offense, defense not that good. So we'll see how far they can go. They'll be playing the winner of the Cowboys and Packers game, which I believe is the early game today. Okay, let's go to the Patriots. Like I said, the Patriots covered the spread. If you're a gambler, and that's all you made out last. I guess the fact that everybody was saying that the Texans didn't have a chance was sort of like inspirational for the Texans, because they played fairly well in the first half of the game. In the first period, 9:27, Deion Lewis caught a 13-yard pass from Tom Brady. Gostkowski with the extra point. Patriots 7 and the Texans zip. At 1:15 of the first period, Nick Novak kicked a 33-yard field goal for the Texans, made it 7-3. But on the ensuing kickoff, Deion Lewis, who never returns kicks or punts, was back there, and he made a 98-yard kickoff return, making it 14-3 after the Gostkowski kick. In the second period, at 11:36, Novak got his 27-yard field goal, and that made it 14-6. And at 10:49, Fedorowicz, the tight end from the Texans, caught a 10-yard pass from Osweiler, and that made it 14-13. But with 7 seconds left in the first half, Gostkowski got a 19-yard field goal, making it 17-13. In the third period at 9:09, James White caught a 19-yard pass from Brady. I'm sorry. Got a 19-yard pass from Brady, and that put the Patriots up 20-13. And at 14:57 of the fourth period, Novak got his third field goal, a 46-yarder, and that made it 20-16. But at 12:16, Deion Lewis powered in from the 1 yard line, and that made it 27-16. And then Gostkowski got a 43-yard field goal at 6:37, making the final score. I missed up something back there. Making the final score: Patriots 34, Texans 16. Anyway, that's the way it went. I think the Patriots worked off some of the rust from the rest with the bye. That was good, and that helped obviously. But when you get teams that have been playing on the off week, they come in with a little bit more, I think. Based upon what the team can do. And like I said, and their defense, kept them in the game in the first half. The Patriots were, not sensational in the second half, but a couple of interceptions, took the Texans out of their game plan, and made it an easier win for the New England Patriots. So we are awaiting the winner of the Steelers and Chiefs game. Now, I understand there's some kind of an ice storm going on out there, and the game's been pushed back to later on in the evening today, and so therefore it's going to be a while before we find out who the Patriots play. Hopefully that traveling conditions lighten up enough for them to get back and forth, the crowd to get back and forth, to the stadium, and we'll see. I got the Steelers in that game over the Chiefs. I just think that the Steelers offense with Roethlisberger, the three Bs, I guess you can call them, Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell, going to be just a little bit too much for Kansas City, whose offense is, you know, good but not that great. They're stronger on defense, perhaps, but I think that all things considered, the Pittsburgh Steelers should pull that game out. That's who I am picking. I don't know who the other guys are picking. Really doesn't matter. As I said, as far as our contest is concerned, I am the winner. I do have Bill's picks. He picked the Falcons, so he gained the game on me. He picked the Patriots, so we are even there. He picked the Chiefs, so if the Chiefs win, he'll gain another game on me. But he's so far behind now, he's not going to catch up. And I got the Cowboys in that game. So we'll see. I guess everybody's saying because of the Cowboys' youth at quarterback and running back, Zach Taylor and Ezekiel Elliott, that is not known what they're going to, how they're going to perform when the bright lights go on. But I think they've played enough tough games this year, and they're enough veteran players on the club, so I think that they'll, you know, produce as they have been producing all year. And I'm looking for the Cowboys and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. How about that for a prediction? 4:54 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can also download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On this Sunday, January the 15th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. And to get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Be back with a final wrap up here on the Brown Perspective on Sports. Okay, 4:56 here on WMFO in Medford, the Brown Perspective on Sports. I'm host Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. In the wrap-up, the Red Sox signed a lot of their players. Xander Bogaerts got $4.5 million. One-year contract. Jackie Bradley, 3.6. Brock Holt, 1.95. Joe Kelly, 2.8. Catcher Sandy Leon, 1.3. Robbie Ross Jr., 1.82. And Tyler Thornburg, 2.05. Not bad. The only unsigned players are left-handed pitchers Fernando Abad and Drew Pomerantz. And the Sox have at least 18 days to come to an agreement with them before the hearing starts February the 1st. They've made some key pickups and signings. So we look for the Red Sox to have a pretty good year, especially now that they've added Chris Sale to their starting rotation. It's going to be interesting to see whether Porcello can repeat his Cy Young Award season. And David Price, who did not do badly, as many people were complaining, in my estimation, anyway, what they wanted to win 40 games, I guess. But anyway, pitching in a small hitter's ballpark like Fenway Park, and also the fact that he has this reputation for not winning and not having won a game in the playoffs yet, has was the big knock around here. But the media looks for, you know, every little pimple they can find on the rear of the elephant to complain about. But anyway, they made the playoffs. The hitting was not there. The pitching was not sensational either. First time for a lot of the young guys. And Mookie Betts, we understood, had a knee injury he was playing through. So anyway, we'll hopefully with that bit of experience under their belts, I'm looking forward to a pretty good year for the Red Sox. Okay, 4:58 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we're multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. Time to put the wraps on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sport, but I invite you to stay tuned. Sounds of Praise is coming your way. And if you've been listening regularly, and I didn't apologize for not being here last Sunday. So last Sunday we had a snowstorm. And so by the time I shoveled out my car, I would have been too pooped to come to the station. So therefore, I decided I took a Sunday off and I enjoyed myself, to be truthful. But we're here now. The snow's practically melted away. We have temperatures, I think, that are going to be in the 40s and 50s in the next couple of days. And so therefore, we'll take it. I will take it. continues all the way through January, I will not complain. February is usually a snowy month, so we'll see what happens there. And we'll move on from there. Okay, invite you to stay tuned for Sounds of Praise. We are continuing with our top hits of the year 2016. And we have some real good music lined up for you. You don't want to miss it. And so until next Sunday, it's your host, Donnelly Brown, saying God bless and hope to see you here bright and early next Sunday around 4 a.m. for another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports.